Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for October 4th. It's your birthday week.
Yeah, it is. And I've got a, I'm panicking all week for a talk I've got to give on Saturday morning.
Are you going to just start it now? Are you starting on your birthday?
Yeah.
On Thursday?
Yeah.
Just write the whole thing all at once.
Well, no, I've
I'm kidding.
I've been writing it. It's just, it like feels like Frankenstein because it has, I've been writing it like, I've set apart every Wednesday for the last month or so, I guess. And so it looks like it. Like, oh, I wrote that 1 month ago and I was having this kind of mood. And then I wrote this last week and it's a totally different mood. And so it feels like a monster. So I've got to condense and smooth it out. It's on the Tolkien thing. On beauty and natural theology and Tolkien.
I feel like you're really excited about it, though.
I'm excited about the conference. I'm not excited about me talking about it because it's just like I'm not a Tolkien scholar. I like Lord of the Rings.
It's funny to me that there are Tolkien scholars.
And
Lewis scholars. Like you could be a scholar of Lewis. Like you could be.
See, if I would have known that before I got my
MDiv, I would have. They didn't have that when I was in school. Yeah. It's like a new thing, I think.
Yeah.
I can't breathe or talk because I'm so sick. So I'm just going to ask you questions that will make you talk a lot.
Everyone, we didn't do our podcast last week. Why didn't we do? Oh, because Sunday was just exhausting last week.
And so it was a discouraging day.
It was a discouraging day. And so we decided not to podcast. So
you wanted to quit your job. I did. I remember correctly.
I didn't want to quit my job.
But then it was better yesterday because I didn't go. You had a really good day.
Yeah, you should just
so
stay home.
I must be the thing that's I must be the cause of
no
church
it's
attendance.
Just very discouraging when because you know after COVID you're just working really hard to get people to go back to church to get in the habit of it because like, people like we all got in the habit of just staying home for everything and so people who once were like every Sunday are now like every other Sunday or 3 Sundays a month, but not 4 Sundays a month. And so, and you know, a Good Shepherd, like people are faithful to come, but some, if we had everybody who regularly comes in church,
well, then there would
at
be
one time,
too many people would feel uncomfortable because of Rona.
I mean, like seriously, if so we have people who regularly come, but they come like three Sundays a month or something. So, and everyone's on a different schedule. So on a given Sunday, we'll have like 40 people missing who are regular attenders, and it'll be so frustrating because you'll come out with an attendance of, you know, we're running about 20 people lower than we did before COVID, and not because we lost people.
We actually
gained people, but we've lost people who have stopped deciding they want to come to church. So it's very frustrating. And that was, so I was very discouraged last week, partly about that. So.
But then this week, it was the week that
everyone visited.
Came.
Yeah, well, some they invited their friends. People invited people to come with them, and so that was nice. Yeah.
But I didn't go, which was weird. I have missed church twice in 20 years.
Yeah, well, you had a fever.
I didn't even miss church when I gave birth to children. I would give birth on Wednesday and be in church on Sunday because if I had said like, maybe I should stay home. You would look at me like, why would you do that?
Which child was it? You had a baby on like...
I gave a baby on...
Monday and you went to the harvest dinner on Wednesday.
No, we went home from the hospital to the harvest dinner. Like you drove me from the hospital to the harvest dinner.
No, you had to go home first. We couldn't have done that. Because you have to...
I don't know. But...
It was like very soon after you had the baby.
After Rowan, the next day we went to the park.
Yeah.
So then I've discovered that modern motherhood includes secluding yourself after giving birth for many days or weeks. And I was really angry when I discovered that was there. That was like a cultural thing that could have, but I didn't know it existed. And so I just went.
Or it's not a cultural thing for you. It might be a cultural thing for other people.
Well, I think there are so many interesting cultural things that we should all have There were some, you sent me, like, you spammed me with links while I was so sick. I've only read half of them, but I feel like you have a lot of interesting things to talk about today.
You're just trying to get yourself out of talking.
What would you like? What's upwardness in your mind?
Well, I was, let's see. I was really happy to see the Russian monarchy, Russian royalty.
They had a really beautiful royal wedding.
Having a royal wedding in Russia, like, yeah, it was awesome. Maybe the Romanovs come back and be.
Do you think Putin would really like that?
I don't. I think he would, actually. He seems to be, like, trying to revive this traditional Mother Russia idea. And so more power to that.
Well, they could do that until one of them decides it's better for them to be divorced. Because divorce is the new me time.
Yeah, right. That was it. Because you wrote about that yesterday. That, I love my husband, but I love myself more, so I got a divorce.
Like, I'm literally still attracted to this person.
And I want to be with him, but my commitment to me is just too great.
And my job, my sketchy job, well, no, it wasn't sketchy, I guess. But, my children are happy with this. My children are very, very delighted.
I think that's such a, people lie to themselves about that all the time. Oh, my kids are going to be so happy once I break up our family and go and pursue my affair with this other person they don't know.
Because my, well, as you know, this comes from Glennon Doyle. The unlived life of the mother is the most painful thing for the child.
Yeah, because your child is your 5-year-old is literally thinking, "Oh, I wish my mother was fulfilled sexually. I wish my mother was really happy in her marriage, and you know that she's not makes me really really sad, and I have a hard time watching cartoons." Without crying because my mother's unfulfilled self. It just doesn't. It's, but, you know, the world, you're right, the world is full of adults now who are projecting their own stuff onto children, like the mother who.
The trans thing. My 4-year-old is trans.
This article, this mother, like, shared the journey of her 4-year-old to being from a man to a girl to a boy, I guess. And it was all things that, like, it reminded me of Sarah J. Young, the
Jesus calling.
Jesus calling, yeah, because you know how, like, it's weirdly Jesus sounds like a 40-year-old suburban woman who's been going to charismatic churches. So it's American.
How did Jesus come up with a voice like that?
Yeah, you wonder how, because when you read it, you think, yeah, this does Jesus really talk like that? And same thing you think when you see a four-year-old's journey to being a boy. Yeah, from a girl to a boy, and you realize it's not really his journey
or her journey. It's
or whatever. It's the mother's journey. That's the journey that was going on, and the mother just imposed the journey onto her child, and that's abuse.
Yeah, it really is. It's nice, too, with the text being from yesterday, that let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. It's interesting the new and amazing ways that children are being hindered in this new dystopia.
Well, they're being mutilated in this. If they make it out of the womb, then they get to have their genitals cut off or extended or whatever. It's just it's really gross and horrible.
Mentally ill parents.
Yeah.
Well, I did like the long Sopranos. Did you read the long thing about the
Sopranos? I've read half of it. Oh. You read the whole thing.
I like that people are, you know, secularists are noticing that everything is bad. That there's this long slide into a total lack of meaning and a sort of post-culture. which the article describes really, really well. And apparently The Sopranos, which I'm not going to watch, but has people watched it a lot through the pandemic, and it had a relevance to where people are culturally now, even though it was made 20 years ago or whatever. But of course, people think, and the person in the article kept saying, it's capitalism that's to blame. You know, the mobs can come in when you have capitalism. And the hint is, of course, we should probably just have socialism as a way out.
A remedy.
But, you know, what I like, this happens over and over again, is so many people right now are so wonderfully describing the wickedness, like the deep wickedness of the human person. And they're doing it unwittingly, you know, like without knowing what they're doing. They're describing how bad individual people are and corporate groups of people are. When people get together in groups, they also are wicked.
Yeah.
But no one thinks. The Bible
the
tells
solution
me, so,
is to get a whole bunch of people under a state control system, and then the state will be good make us be good.
Like, no one looks at the description that they've just put on the page and thinks, wow, I wonder, maybe there's no way out. Maybe we need help. Maybe we should ask God for help, because no matter what system we organize ourselves into, whatever it is, capitalism, socialism, mobism, it comes out the same every time.
I wonder,
is there someone who could help us with this? Another being, perhaps, who doesn't live here?
It is incredibly insane. I mean, just the way every generation kind of thinks it's coming out to these new discoveries, the new thing that's going to solve everything and make utopia come to pass. I do think there's a new level of societal destruction that's just that because like in past ages, at least in the West, it's been understood that like a full throttled, I'm in it for me and myself and I love me better than anyone else. And I'm going to find out who I am and express that. And you better bow down and celebrate it. Before that was like 20 years ago, that was recognized as bad manners.
At least bad manners.
Yeah. I mean, even by secular people would say, okay, you're being selfish. You know, that's wrong. You shouldn't act like that. I mean, fine, you can sing the Whitney Houston song about, you know, the greatest love of all inside of me is my love of me or whatever. But don't actually act like that, but I act like that because you'll just be a jerk. But now, nope, it's full on me, celebration of me, embrace of me. I love myself more than anyone else in the world, including my children and my spouse, and I'm just going to do what's right for me. And then everybody stands up and applauds that. It's just strange. That is where you get mothers making their children change their sex and murdering them in the womb. And it just, no, I don't know if there's any coming back from that.
Well, it's
when a society just decides it's good.
It's
like,
suicidal.
Right. So. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that things like that are going to
also... I feel like the Bible also told me about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does go back a long way to the, I think I want to be God.
Yeah.
I think that I'd be a better God than God. So that's really nice fruit there.
But there's been such a nice check on it for so long. We haven't had to really, like, I haven't ever had to read an article where a woman said, actually, I just got divorced because this was the good choice for me, and my children are happy about it, and I'm still in love. Like, that's the thing that's also discouraging, is that it's the death of romantic love. Mm-hmm. It's the death of even falling in a in a sort of base human sense for another person, that has gone away. Like, you don't even fall in love with that idea has been taken out of the realm of good possibilities, because you now should fall for yourself. You should,
right? Because you fall in love with somebody too much, you're gonna compromise yourself. So yeah. you got to guard against that. So in the past, you might guard against falling in love because, you know, you have other commitments, like you're married, or you're, you know, you don't, you, this person you might fall in love with is someone that you shouldn't pursue a relationship with. So you just guard yourself for the sake of your religion or your family. Now it's, you guard yourself because of you, like you, because your greatest love is you. So you've got to make sure that doesn't get, that it's a person you're in love with doesn't get in the way of you loving yourself.
So you can't have, that's exactly it. So Jen Hammond, I wrote about Jen Hammond. She's been through it does seem really tragic. Like, if you looked at her relationship with her husband before, it seemed like they were really, as one said before, in love. And it was, you know, they had children. Yeah. They had a marriage that people emulated. So it ends, and clearly she's really hurting. Mm. And I think that's appropriate. You know, if something that was so valuable comes to an end, of course it's so painful.
Yeah.
So you should go hide and try to pull things back together. But of course, you'll never be the same again. Your family's broken, but you know, God is gracious. So there's healing, right? No, it's been less than a year, and she's got to get out there and date. But because she's still hurting, she's got to insulate herself.
Yeah.
And so the best way to do that is to say, well, it's me first, but I'm gonna, these are my requirements for me to be okay. You have to be okay. And it means that there's no possibility of falling for someone else, for sort of being swept up by another person.
Right.
And it's very ugly. Like, her list of things was really, think of the poetry, even of the last, you know, 15 minutes. the Rickroll song is more poetical and desiring of another than Jen Hatmaker's list of things she would require for another person. You don't even have to go read, you know, Tennyson or Shakespeare, my gosh, or anything. Just go listen to the Rickroll guy.
Yeah, I mean,
for a poetical view of love. There's no love. It's so interesting. I mean, and by interesting, I mean very, very tragic.
Because you wrote about that. You wrote about her list of things that she requires. And I mean, okay, so you also have to say, I can also see, like, you might be more reticent after a divorce. That's painful.
Yeah, I don't think she should, like, of course she's not in a place where she should be thinking about this.
Right. I mean, she should have a list of things she's looking for in a man.
Should she?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do think it's right, but it's the thing she's guarding is her self-love in this list. Whereas you should be guarding, like, your integrity and your faith and your obedience to God. So you should be looking for, okay, if suddenly you died, which would be horrible, I would hate that, but if in like 10 years after I got over that, I might date someone, and then I have to think, all right, so it's got to be a Christian. This person has to be a believer in Jesus, and this person has to be willing to be married to a pastor. This person has to be, you know, there's checklists of things you have to have. So that's totally fine. This person has to have like a track record of not being a cheater on whoever she's with. Yeah, you want that. But the checklist isn't like, I'm fun. I want a fun person. if that person isn't fun, then I mean, it was her checklist was so strange because it was so, I don't know.
Well, it wasn't. It was very much like her books are. That's how she talks. So
right.
You might be widowed before widowed, because I'm probably gonna die of this cold. See, so you may need to develop.
Should I start looking out, looking around,
like early have now? Yeah. Well, it's all very bad and sad, and yet I feel so cheerful. One of my greatest joys right now is that it's so easy for me to be a Christian, because I've said this before, I don't have to think very much. Like, the people that I'm reading about are Jen Hatmaker on Facebook. I don't have to have a deep theological understanding of anything. I can just lie on my couch with my cold and just blog, and I don't have to write like 39 articles or the Geneva whatever that's called, or I don't have to be Saint Augustine. If I want to engage in the public square,
right, you can
theologically
say, oh, here's something really horrible and bad that like just
it's not true, a
surface reading of the Bible
yeah
will unveil as really bad. So
you can just list some Bible verses and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't, it's not hard. Anybody could be engaged with the issues of our time and come out fine, because you don't have to be that smart. So it's like God prepared me for such a time as this.
You've been, but see, I think you're selling yourself too short. I think you're very profound in what you write.
Mm.
But you just,
yeah. But I didn't have to study any, like I didn't have to study any theology. I just could take
critical theory
in college. I didn't have to read, you know, the great works of our times.
That's right. You did take critical theory, basically, because literature was, right?
Yeah.
Comparative literature
before. It became a big thing. It's, well, before everybody noticed, it was, anyway, I think we've just said everything we say every time. Surely you have something else you'd want
to do. I mean, we've been like tiptoeing around the whole COVID thing. We haven't really spoken about it, but I do want to say, I saw Dr. Fauci on the television, you know, questioning whether or not we were going to be allowed to have Christmas. I mean, what? Why are we waiting for him?
We had Christmas last year.
I know. So,
he said last year we weren't going to be able to have
Christmas.
Yeah,
no, he said we couldn't have Christmas last year.
But we did.
We had Christmas.
We had
anyway.
A very merry Christmas.
Yeah, it didn't.
We had our roast beef and our Yorkshire pudding and our presents and our church.
Yeah, yeah. We
Christmas
did all the
carols.
Stuff.
Of course, I think we were masked last year. I mean, I
guess he hasn't read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, so.
Oh, so he doesn't know.
You just don't say.
Is he the White Witch come back to Earth?
I mean, again, I'm not going to get into the debate about whether or not you should have a vaccine, although I do think the mandates are ridiculous and totalitarian, and no one should be mandating it. Anybody get a shot for the teeth their job, but when you say we'll see if we can have Christmas, you've taken it to another level. No, we're gonna have Christmas. We're gonna have the meal. We're gonna have the pageant. We're gonna have the services. We're gonna have all this stuff, even if Dr. Fauci says that you can't. That's just,
well, he. Doesn't he can't say?
I mean,
people still have to eat their Christmas dinner.
I guess there are people who are waiting to see what Fauci says about whether or not they can do things. But to me, it's just I what?
I mean, it's not a good, hopeful. Let's bring America together kind of message.
Well, that's the I think that's been the problem all along with this, is that very quickly the attempt to persuade just the people who were trying to get people, all of the shutdown, the masks, all that. There was no attempt to persuade. It was just basically, this is what we're doing. And if you don't agree, you're anti-science. And so, okay. Way to just completely alienate a good 50% of the population without any kind of compassion for why people might, you know, question
but, you know,
from on high mandates.
I do think, like, I'm not on the side of the totalitarian at all. I think people should be allowed to think and do things like that. But when you consider the kind of articles that I have to read all this to become an elite snob for a second, I just did read in the New York Times a woman say, well, I think it's better for me to follow my heart and blow up my family because my job is more important than anything in the world, which is really an asinine civilization destroying sentiment.
Yeah.
And it is at odds with something like public health. So if everybody is just busy following their hearts, then there's no way to appeal to the better
right.
feelings or the better nature of people, because you've just told them that their better nature is only themselves.
Right.
And so we do have an impossible situation where a government has for generations encouraged people to be exceedingly self-indulgent,
right,
and allowed them, given them all the tools necessary to have all the cheap crap from China and spend money unwisely.
Right.
It's self-spending money so in such an ungodly way. So I think everybody was fine with that. Now we're weeping the whirlwind. And so what is the government which helped do this? What
yeah.
are they to do? Well, they have to become the White Witch and be like,
no Christmas for you.
No Christmas for you, because all the people are bad. So, I mean, I do think there's a way out. It would be like everybody falling on their faces and saying to Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please help me.
Yeah.
Not get COVID
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
but... but
yeah.
in a godless situation, there isn't a good way out, and we all just have to muddle through. That's like, we can only pray for both this lady on the New York Times and Dr. Fauci, both.
I wonder. Yeah, the lady. I mean, it's so short sighted. Like, oh, okay, I'm gonna choose my job over my family. Okay, what? We just in morning prayer. One of our people who comes to morning prayer talked about her grandfather who just passed away, and he was a Christian. He's a Christian, and he passed away surrounded by his family in a very peaceful way. I think everyone really would like to die that way. What do you do if you've made your job, chosen your job over your family? Who's gonna stand with you? Who's gonna be there next to you in the bed while you're lying in bed dying? Is your boss gonna come and give you like a gold watch or something? Or what's gonna happen to you? No, nothing. You're gonna. I'll tell you what's gonna happen to you. You're gonna be in a nursing home because you've taught your kids that self is more important than anything else, and that means they're not gonna take you into their home. They're not gonna help you when you're sick. They might help you a little bit, but really, it's for themselves. If they really take to heart the lesson you're teaching them, you're gonna die in some nursing home, surrounded by people who don't love you.
During the global pandemic.
Yeah, and then you're going to go into a miserable eternity. So don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many more interesting things than an annoying job. I did read a really great, I'm too sick to remember where it was at all, but about the, oh no, it's this Christopher Lash book that I'm reading.
Mm.
One of the things that happened, which our government contributed to, honestly, with the war on poverty, but the indignity of work has become undignified. So most people have to do jobs that are so awful, that are so unmeaningful, that the people who do find a job that they love have to so identify themselves with that job that they have to jettison everything else. So, I mean, in a cultural sense, there's a, you know, there are two kinds of people. There's people who have horrible jobs who then don't have to have them because the government will just give them money. And so they have no meaning. Work is untethered from the human identity at all. And then there's the other kind of person who so weds herself to her work that it is her only meaning. And, you know, there's this horrible division. And again, it's, there's another option. You could do unmeaningful work for the glory of God if you have God in your life. You can also draw boundaries around meaningful work for the glory of God so you don't become
There's literally Scrooge. Nothing wrong with, you know, driving a bread truck or going working in an assembly line. I mean, those are all good, fine jobs. You might not, they may not be the ones that you find your life's goal and purpose in, but that's why you find life's goal and purpose elsewhere.
Yeah. the person who made you.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't even know what that
Actually,
is.
Those kinds of jobs are probably better for realizing that than any.
Because then you can, like, listen to podcasts and stuff.
One of our prisoners has a job of this sort, which is cool. She gets to listen to.
It's just like tons of things.
Yeah.
So cool.
I kind of wish I had that job.
So envious.
I really wish I had the job, actually.
Yeah, and you clock in and clock out, and then you, like, you I said, like, don't... do you think about work when you go home? And she was like, no, what? Okay, so you're not consumed with, oh, well, never mind. Yeah. Well, I think it...
We've said all the things.
Yeah, I think we've said all the things.
I would like to leave everyone with this meme that I love.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite memes in the whole world. It's a review, actually, because there was...
I'm
not sure if it's a genuine review or not, but it was made up. But I think it looks like an Amazon review. But there's a book on Amazon called "It Was Ducks: How to Make Them Pay," and it was basically like how to raise ducks for profit. Mm-hmm. But the title is "Ducks: How to Make Them Pay," and then there someone left a review. Let me tell you, I was bitterly disappointed to learn that this book is, in fact, an instruction guide to the profitable husbandry of ducks as a craft. There is not one sliver of insight about holding ducks accountable for their crimes against humanity, Earth, or God.
Okay, no, I have one then. Okay. Here's my ending meme. This is my favorite. Count Dracula was 412 when he moved to England in search of new blood. Sauron was 54,000 years old when he forged the One Ring. Cthulhu had seen galaxies flare into life and fade into darkness before he put madness in the minds of men. It's never too late to follow your dreams.
That's great. I do look forward to the next election season and when Cthulhu will come out with his campaign.
I think he should actually be on the
docket.
Yeah.
The ticket, whatever.
Like, he should just actually run and I'll vote for him. Well, we'll probably be back next week. Thanks so much for listening.